Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, cracking it up to 12. Anything you want to hear loud, we'll play it for you. Send your song request, Plazaport text line at 410-583. 105.7, got draft profiles coming up, got the whip around in a few. Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, we'll talk about the Orioles 2 days away from the start of their season. But let's talk some more Ravens. He's with USA Today's The Ravens Wire. Let's welcome back to the show on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, what's happening?
A lot, apparently, with this Lamar trade request, where we get the tweet coming down right as John Harbaugh sits down to talk to the media at the owners' meeting. Some interesting timing on that tweet, but we get some clarity from Lamar's side of things, and then it's all from there now in terms of what happens.
And I was going to ask you that very question, because Vinny and I talked about it in the first hour. Was it just a happy coincidence that the tweet came out as John Harbaugh sitting down about to be with the media, or is it just a calculated move by a guy that either wants out of Baltimore or trying to push a little more leverage into getting what he wants from the team?
Yeah, I don't think it's nothing. I think definitely the timing of it was super interesting. And at the very least, you know, I think we've seen over these past couple of weeks, especially when he took to Twitter a couple weeks ago and said the, you know, 3 for 133, you know, but I need an agent type deal. I think it's definitely a move where it was a calculated move, business move from him to put that pressure on the market, on the Ravens, and try to drum up some more interest potentially in this trade request. And just because, you know, he requested a trade doesn't necessarily mean the trade happens, and that doesn't necessarily mean stuff begins to move more quickly. Apparently, you know, the reports have come out that said at the owners' meetings what people have heard is fact that the conversations surrounding Lamar's contract and what Lamar's demands are right now were non-starters for teams. And so this could just be a situation where, you know, I know we talked about the non-exclusive franchise tag in terms of, well, that was given to Lamar to go out and he can go find an offer sheet partner potentially and see if that's a match and what his market could be. But maybe it was to see if there was any interest trade-wise to see if a team would want to give up assets plus the either fully guaranteed or close to fully guaranteed contract. And maybe he just hasn't seen the market that he thought he would get, that he has wanted. And I'm sure if that's the case, it's been frustrating for him because, again, he believes what he's worth. He said that in his tweet. I don't think this is an organizational thing. It's definitely seen by his tweets. It's a monetary, it's a money thing. So I do think the timing was somewhat of a calculated move from Lamar, and I think that's interesting because, you know, John Harbaugh, I think, handled the press conference well, all things considered. Definitely seemed, you know, did say he didn't see the tweet. He was kind of blindsided by it. But now we just kind of wait and see what the next move is.
Now, Ian Rappaport, I believe it was, reported that even though Lamar had mandated a trade back in March 2nd, that they've still been negotiating. What can you tell us about that news?
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. I think in the fact that, you know, again, we've seen trade requests before. And that, like, even going back last offseason to Deebo Samuel, and I know, obviously, two different situations in terms of, obviously, what contract we're talking about, positions and positional value and years and money and guaranteed stuff and whatnot. But, you know, this for Lamar, I think, again, isn't necessarily a whole organizational thing where he doesn't like the organization and he's unhappy in Baltimore and he doesn't like his teammates or his coaches or the organization. I think for him, he just truly wants that money, that number that he believes in. And I mean, look, the Ravens over the past 4 years have had a lot of high-profile guys request out. The Ravens have honored each one of those requests, but they've all been for different reasons. You know, obviously Hayden Hurst was the first one back in 2020. That was because Mark Andrews overtook that tight end job. He wanted more playing time. Orlando Brown wanted to play left tackle. Both those, I don't think, had anything to do with the organization. So while they have had these requests, those instances haven't been they're unhappy with the organization. I think Marquise Brown, you could argue, he wasn't happy with the offense, wasn't happy with the Greg Roman, it felt like. So that, I think, was more like he didn't like what situation he was in. But this to Lamar situation to me feels like it's not an organizational thing. So the fact that he is reportedly still negotiating, you know, the Rappaport you mentioned said is late as last week, I think doesn't shock me, because I think if the Ravens were to say tomorrow or this weekend, you know what, Lamar, we'll come up to your price, or we'll come really close to your price, I think Lamar would say, all right, let's run it back and get this done, because I think it's to him, he just wants to be paid what he's worth, and I think his tweets reflected that.
The thing about, you know, he wants what he thinks he's worth, that's not how it works. You know, you can think what you want to think, but it's what everybody else thinks of you. That's what it's about. And by getting no phone calls, the people are telling him that you're not worth that. Even Jimmy Ursay said, I don't believe in fully guaranteed contracts. He's not getting that. He's got to come off of that.
And I think that's where, you know, you kind of look at the situation for both the Ravens and Lamar, and it feels like there's been absolutely no middle ground in this whole thing where, right. You know, usually in negotiations, it's, well, we have our price and you have your price. And obviously that's the starting point for negotiations. And then you kind of work your way up or down. And there's some sort of, maybe one side has to give up a little, but at the end of the day, you're negotiating something. And at this point, it seems like Lamar is fully entrenched in that either fully guaranteed or very close to it number. The Ravens in, I guess at this point, these other teams say, well, this is what we feel like you're worth. And there's no middle ground where there's nothing happening where one side or the other is coming down or coming up from where they are to maybe give a little here or give a little there. And that, to me, I think is what's been frustrating from some fans and some people, because it feels like if there were to just be something given here and something given there by both sides, maybe there's something that could work. And maybe there has been some of that, but it just feels like in this situation, we've heard so much about, well, the fully guaranteed, and there hasn't been any come down on that. And for the Ravens, it feels like they're doing what they can, and I'm not saying they're blameless. I think both sides have not handled this super well over the course of, you know, the whole situation, but I think we haven't seen that middle ground, and I think in negotiations, that's what you have to have in order to get something done.
Hey, Kevin, if he plays on the tag, what kind of player are they going to get, you know, this fall? Let's say he shows up training camp. What kind of player is he going to be sick all the time? Is he going to be hurt? Is he going to come in shape? You know, all those things.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because at this point, I think with Lamar, you know what he's going to do on the field. I mean, he shows up. He's a hard worker. I'm not questioning his work ethic. I'm not questioning his love for the game or anything. But I think all the noise surrounding him, at least from an on-field perspective, has been the fact that, you know, if we just do a very quick recap of last year, he was the MVP frontrunner for about 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of the season. And then the play started to drop off a little bit. He started missing some deep throws and obviously the unfortunate injury. And that's been the topic for the last couple of months here has been the injuries. Both were throwing the football both this past year and last year against Cleveland. But now you're starting to hear people say, well, can he put together a full 16, 17 at this point game season? And that's what the worry is for some people, where I'm not putting the injury prone label on him right now. I think if there was a third straight year where he has that season ending injury, then I think those cries become a lot louder. But Lamar is Lamar in terms of he's going to show up. He's going to give you this electric playmaking. Obviously, he still, I think, is a dual threat, you know, one of these best dual threat quarterbacks in the league here. And that's valuable. I think Lamar's still the franchise quarterback, and he still gives the Ravens, I think, their most realistic and best shot to win a Super Bowl this year because, you know, you can argue quarterback rankings all you want to, but you're not – Patrick Mahomes isn't walking through that door. Joe Burrow's not walking through. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. So I think with what you have, Lamar gives you that best shot. And we've seen what this offense is like without him. Obviously, it's going to be a new one with Todd Monken. But Tyler Huntley for them last year was not the answer. You know, Anthony Brown, I think, showed some flashes, but he wasn't the answer there as well. So if Lamar shows up, he gives you that best chance to win. And that's what people want to see, I feel like. They want to see him in a non-Greg Roman offense. I'm not counting the end of 2018 with Marty Morningwave. But they want to see him in a non-Greg Roman offense with hopefully some more weapons in the wide receiver room. I think Lamar and Todd Monken could be a really good pairing, but I think if Lamar shows up, plays on that franchise tag, there'd be some concerns about, well, is he being cautious? Is he playing with a cautious play style? But I think he'd still give it his all on the field, but then there is that kind of lingering thought in your mind of, well, what does the franchise tag do to Lamar's play style in that situation? I don't think it changes that much, but at the end of the day, you still got to wonder.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Tell us about the Ravens Wire. What's percolating over there this afternoon?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. You know, we're talking landing spots for Lamar potentially in a trade. You know, we have other targets for them. I haven't done a ton this offseason. We grading from the Nelson Aguilar signing, which wasn't super popular among Ravens fans, and a ton more. The Ravens haven't done a ton this offseason, but this Lamar Jackson situation is giving us plenty of content. So 7 days a week writing over there for the Ravens Wire and not slowing down anytime soon.
Nope. Well, less than a month away from the draft, so you got that to look forward to as well. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, appreciate it. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks,
appreciate
Kevin.
You guys. Yep. Thanks so much.
It's Vinny at 80-105-7. The Fan will come back. It is the whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. And historically, we'll get into that. We'll talk some Orioles, Jacob Calvin Meyer. Baltimore summer, 2 days away from the start of the 2023 Major League Baseball season. That means Baltimore baseball tonight slash today debuts this coming Thursday at 11 o'clock. We'll talk about that more. And then a funhouse trip with no.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Olin McGraw.
Vinny and Hades with around. Today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around. Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan. South Carolina, number one seed in the women's tournament, beat Maryland last night down in Greenville, 86-75. They advanced to the Final Four yet again for Brenda Freeze and her Terps. They fall a game short of another Final Four, but a trip to the Elite Eight. They should be commended for that. So congratulations to that accomplishment. And I'm sure the best is still yet to come for Brenda Freeze, at the very least, just adding more banners in the rafters there of the Xfinity Center. Jameer Young, Maryland men, he's coming back for another season, which is great news for Kevin Willard. You keep Julian Reese around because apparently, as we talked about last week with Keith Kavanaugh, the Sharks are in the water. NIL Sharks, that is, if he sticks around for another year his junior season with the recruiting class they have coming in. Maybe Dante Scott sticks around for another year. And then Maryland should be a prolific team, we think, in the Big Ten, but we're still plenty of months away from that sort of reality. Last night in the NBA, the Knicks, minus Jalen Brunson, took on the Rockets. A rematch of the 94 Finals. And the Knicks get revenge all these years later.
Quickly with a steal. Sengun was not watching. Up and in. Emmanuel Quickly with a 20-point first half. Hand off for Quickly. Quickly's had the hot hand early. That continues. Emmanuel Quickly.
Had Emmanuel Quickly. And his 40 points, 2 boards, 9 assists. My FanDuel team last night.
Oh, you did?
Did great for me.
Oh, yes,
at a
he
relatively
did.
Decent dollar, too. That was Mike Breen, Clyde Frazier, MSG Network on the call. New York well on their way to the playoffs. Get that big win. Emmanuel Quickly having a monster season. Fills in as a starter, drops 40. He's been prolific off the bench. Jumper's fallen. And he's a stat filler. It's not just the points.
Well,
he gets assists
too,
and rebounds and steals. He does a lot of good things for the New York Knicks. So they win 137-115. As Quickly did me a solid at FanDuel last night. Kevin Herter, not so much. Minnesota beat the Kings 119-115. Red Velvet, who had been on fire, 13 points, 3 boards, and an assist there. Alex Len actually got some PT, 4 points, 2 boards, and 2 block shots. It was Phoenix over Utah, 117-103. Jazz going down the toilet there. Damian Lee, Calvert-Hall had 3 in the win for the Suns. It was Dallas 127-104 over Indiana. Jalen Smith started last night. Sticks, Maryland, got 11 points and 6 boards, also from Baltimore Mount St. Joe, of course, because Miles Turner sat that one out as Indiana.
Wonder why they don't like him.
He's been playing lately. He started because Miles Turner wasn't, and Miles Turner's an outstanding player, but Sticks, he was pining it for a long time. It's starting to get himself back into the rotation. Final few games of the season. Wizards, speaking of circling the drain, they've lost 5 of 6. They host the Celtics tonight as they try to keep their faint hopes alive for even getting in to the playoff tournament, much less making the playoffs. It's the Whip Around Video at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's see here. The 1977, the Omni in Atlanta. Marquette, the Warriors, as they were called at the time, with Kevin Byrne running around as the press agent.
Yeah.
Beat North Carolina 67-59 to win the national championship. It was Al McGuire's last game. He announced his retirement during the tournament. And the funny thing there, if you're old enough to remember Dean Smith and the way he ran his offense, they were up by like 8, and then he went to the 4 corners, which usually was doom, killed their momentum. And then Marquette forced a couple of turnovers, got back into the game. Butch Lee was the most outstanding player there, so that was 46 years ago. 31 years ago today at Philly, the Spectrum. Christian Laettner hits a 15-footer in overtime at the buzzer on the heave from Grant Hill as Duke stuns North Carolina 104-103 as they would go to the Final Four and win their second consecutive national championship. Vern Lundquist and our own Len Elmore were on the call for CBS that day. Lenny Elmore going to be joining us later in the week. Preview the Final Four with him. 20 years ago tonight in San Antonio, Maryland, at the time defending national champions, they lose to the Michigan State Spartans 60-58. Paul Davis threw up some BS bank shot with 4.7 seconds left. Steve Blake missed a 3 from the top of the key that could have won it, but it went off, and that was it. So Maryland's run ends. They made, what, 7 Sweet 16s in like 9 seasons? They were on a nice little roll there. Drew Nicholas had 18 in his final game. Maryland has been to 1 Sweet 16 since then.
Wow.
What? I don't want to start bringing up Gonzaga because people give me the business. They've been to 8 straight. Maryland's been to 1 in 20 years. And then on this day, 1984, I was playing quarters. 1807 East Baltimore Street. Me, Eddie Peters, Jimmy Fish, rest in peace. Avery Brewer, rest in peace. Joe Griffith. Playing quarters. Eddie Peters calls me upstairs and goes, Bob, you got to check this out. So I go upstairs, we stay at the TV, and this is happening.
I have not any intention to move the team. If I did, I will tell you about it, okay?
Good evening. I'm Scott Garceau, and indeed, it has been a long goodbye. A long, agonizing, frustrating 2.5 months of waiting and wondering if the Baltimore Colts would be leaving town for good at the whim of owner Robert Irsay. It has happened. The shock is setting in. Emotions are running high.
Scott Garceau, WMAR Channel 2. Go upstairs. We're looking at the TV, and the Mayflowers are pulling out of Owings Mills with the snow. It was like, what the hell's going on here? Well, obviously, they moved, went to Indianapolis. That's why I'm not losing sleep over the Lamar stuff. And you know, I'll be upset if he leaves. But my team left. The team I grew up rooting for and supporting. The team whose memorabilia still hangs in my man cave. I didn't have a team for 12 years. 12 seasons without NFL football. Lamar Jackson bails for whatever destination. It'll suck. But how about not having a team for your entire decade? You were in your 20s. Rooted for Denver because I like John Elway.
Really?
Who was drafted by the Colts. Still in Baltimore at the time. And that was 29 years ago today. The Orioles, by the way, were about to embark on a season in which they were the defending World Series champions. That's how long it's been. We're going to talk about this year's Orioles. Jacob Calvin Meyer, Baltimore's son, will preview the team coming out of Sarasota. 48 hours more or less away from the start of the year against the Boston Red Sox. That means Baltimore baseball tonight resumes with a vengeance on Thursday at 11 o'clock. We'll set that up for you here in the 12 o'clock hour. Got a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw coming up. 11:45. News from the Nest coming up at noon. We're going to talk some Ravens. Gee, what's...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or... I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
That could it be about.
Your sports information station, 1057 The Fan.
1057 The Fan. Here on this Turning Up Tuesday, been cranking up the volume all day long, everybody. If you want to be part of that, you can do so at 410-583-1057. We have draft profiles we have to get to in the 12 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. Got Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State. And Tay Banks, formerly Deontay Banks out of Maryland. We'll talk about, speaking of Maryland, Sean Merriman, lights out, joining us at 12:30, and some other surprises coming your way as well. Daniel Oyefusi is going to be joining us out of Miami, former Baltimore Sun writer, covered the Ravens and the Terps, a Baltimore kid as well. So we got a lot to get to, but right now let's talk about the Orioles. Orioles 2 days away, basically, from the start of the season of 23, taking on the Red Sox at Fenway, covers them for the Baltimore Sun. Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, he is Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Jacob, good morning.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Orioles made a move today. They made it official. Danny Coulombe, whose nickname is Frenchie, apparently. He comes over from Minnesota, left-handed reliever. Andrew Politi was DFA'd, Rule 5 right-hander. So talk about this move and how this now affects the makeup of Brandon Hyde's bullpen as we're 48 hours away from the start of the year.
Yeah, definitely an interesting move, right? We went 6 weeks of spring training with very little happening, a pretty drama-free camp. And then, of course, Grayson Rodriguez is optioned down to AAA, and the Orioles make a trade for a left-handed reliever. Coulombe is a guy with that, you know, we haven't talked to anybody in the organization about him yet, but he seems to be a guy that might be a high spin rate candidate that they can that they think that they can get a lot out of. And he's also somebody that does well against left-handed batters. They have Cionel Pérez as their top lefty in the bullpen, but with an injury to Dylan Tate and likely Michael Givens as well, Cionel Pérez looks to be more like a setup man than used purely in a left-handed role to start the season. And so having Coulombe there, in addition to Keegan Aiken as left-handers in the bullpen, you know, could be a valuable role for him there. You know, for the roster, right now we're sitting at 31 players, two of whom are definitely going on the injured list, John Means and Dylan Tate. So that takes it down to 29. There's two more who are quite likely to go on the injured list. That's Michael Givens and catcher James McCann. So that takes it down to 27. And then that extra player there is one of the bullpen arms. So there's about three bullpen spots remaining for Keegan Aiken, Mike Bauman, Joey Crable, and Logan Gillespie. So three of those guys, as of right now, the way that it looks, are going to be in the bullpen, and one of them would be sent down to AAA.
And, Jacob, you mentioned Grayson Rodriguez, who will not be part of the opening day roster as he was optioned back to Norfolk yesterday. Mike Elias said before spring training he expects him to be in the rotation. Things looked like it was trending in that direction throughout the early portion of the spring. His last few outings, however, have not been ideal. Earned run average over 7. Second time through the lineup, he started to get lit up a little bit. I guess command became a problem for him. So what did Mike Elias have to say about Rodriguez going back? We're assuming he will pitch for the Orioles at some point in 23 and well beyond that. But is it a stunning turn of events that this is what happened at the end of the Grapefruit League?
No, I think it's controversial. But I don't think it's stunning. You know, when you have a combination of factors, one of which being having rotation depth, right? Tyler Wells is now the fifth starter. And, you know, if you just look away from the Grayson Rodriguez of it all, even though Tyler Wells had a slow start to camp, he pitched really well his last two outings. He was one of the team's best starting pitchers for the first half of 2022. And he was a really solid reliever in 2021. You know, since he's been with the team, he's, for the most part, pitched pretty well. And I think he's deserving, generally speaking, of a rotation spot. Now, is he deserving more than Grayson Rodriguez, somebody who, you know, James McCann, after he caught him in his fourth spring start, said that his big league, his elite stuff, and that his stuff is big league ready? You know, that's a question for other people. Now, Elias said to us the other day that, yeah, I was surprised a little bit at how, you know, definitively Elias said that he was kind of surprised and disappointed with how Grayson Rodriguez pitched in camp. And you mentioned the command issues. Elias said his slider wasn't what they wanted it to be. But I think the thing that is important to note is obviously spring training is such a small sample. And, you know, what matters more when you look at a small sample for a pitcher is the way that their stuff looks more than the other factors, like having big innings or command, because for the most part, his stuff was there this spring, similar to, you know, what it had been in the minor leagues. But they were concerned about those big innings. you know, he had one bad inning in each of his final three starts and kind of sunk into some quicksand and couldn't find his way out. You know, that's a problem, especially early in the season when you have to rely on your bullpen even more. But also, he still had about 10 outstanding innings down there. He led all of their starting pitchers in strikeouts despite throwing fewer innings than almost every other starting rotation candidate. And so, you know, when you look at a prospect like him, and then you add in some of the other, you know, factors such as service time and all of that, I think that's kind of what makes this a controversial decision.
Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So we're 2 days away, Jacob, from the start of the year against Boston. Oriole fans very optimistic about the upcoming season. Looking to stack on the 83 from last year. Strength of the team is what? Weakness is what?
Ooh, great question. I think you would have to say that the strength is their defense. You know, when you look up the middle, which is, you know, where most teams like to build their top, you know, their defense, you've got a top-tier defensive catcher in Adley Rutschman. You've got several top, you know, several plus defenders in Jorge Mateo and Ramon Urias and Gunnar Henderson. And Adam Frazier, too, also a stout defender at second base. And then in center field, of course, you have Cedric Mullins. And in left field, you've got a guy like Austin Hayes who can also play center field but is playing left field for the O's. So I think defense has to be the strength, and I think you could see guys like Kyle Gibson and Cole Irvin, pitchers who are really pitched to contact. They don't strike out a lot of guys who have kind of dealt with bad defenses in the past, especially last year with Kyle Gibson in Philadelphia. I think you see those guys take a step up. Now the weakness, I think, I don't know if this is a cop-out answer, but I think one of the biggest weaknesses is kind of just the fact that when you look at teams that had such a big jump from one year to the next, they almost always tend to regress. And so, you know, they won 31 more games in 2022 than they did in 2021. They didn't make any significant additions in the offseason, not to the extent of a top-tier starting pitcher or an impact bat in the middle of the lineup. You know, they are going to bring up some prospects throughout the year, but when you look at sort of the macro trends of, you know, the way teams typically perform after they break that glass ceiling like the Orioles did last season, I think that's a concern because they didn't go out this offseason and, you know, make major additions to the ball club.
Hey, Jacob, when Rodriguez gets sent down like that, and Elias, you know, says the things he says publicly, which are kind of surprising a little bit, what's the kid's attitude going down?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that's obviously something that's up to Grayson Rodriguez. And, you know, I think we'll all just have to wait and see how he performs down in AAA. I think a lot of people were surprised at some of the comments that Mike Elias made, but you know, when it comes to at least, you know, if we're assuming he's being honest with everything, you know, it is nice that he didn't, you know, just say glowing things about Grayson Rodriguez and say that everything was fine and everything was perfect and then still send him down. So, when it comes to looking at how Grayson performs down in AAA, it's interesting considering he's, you know, he's only pitched 69 innings down there, but for the most part, he's sort of already mastered that level. So, I think we'll see quickly enough down in AAA if some of the concerns of the organization regarding his slider and his command are valid, because then we could potentially see that in some of his performance in AAA, and it might take him a little bit to get back on track, as Elias said, or he could potentially go down to AAA and be just as dominant as he was last season, and that would be further proof that you know, he is ready to be in the big leagues.
Now, Jacob, I'm guessing that Grayson Rodriguez was probably the biggest disappointment of camp. Who was probably the most pleasant surprise of camp?
Yeah, I think there's a few of them. You know, the most pleasant surprise of camp, you know, I don't know if it would be a surprise, but I think it was a very positive development to see Austin Hayes and Ryan Mountcastle both hit very well. Austin Hayes had a rough second half last year after a really good first half. He's been, obviously, throughout his career in Baltimore, a little bit up and down, dealt with some injuries. But because of his defensive capabilities in that big left field at Camden Yards, you know, and his ability to be, you know, a pretty impact bat, he can be a very valuable player if he's healthy. And so far, you know, in spring training, he hit very well. And Ryan Mountcastle, a similar deal in terms of last season, he had some batted ball, bad luck. You know, he hit the ball incredibly hard, but, you know, just didn't seem to have too many that fell. And so I think he's a regression candidate in the other direction in terms of it looks like if he continues to hit the ball the way that he did last season, you could see his numbers take a big jump. And so far, you know, in spring training, he definitely looked like somebody who could be a breakout candidate this year.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the start of the upcoming season, and we'll see you next week down in Camden Yards.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, joining us video at 81.057 The Fan. When we come back, Funhouse Trip, Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw. Got news from the desk coming up at noon. Let's count some money, buy or sell, around 12:15. How's that Turn It Up Tuesday cash looking? Lights out. Sean Merriman's got a lot going on in his life. He'll tell us about it at 12:30. And then we got our first draft profile of the day. It's Emmanuel Forbes. He's a highly regarded cornerback in this year's class, but he's going to tell you why later on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Program.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn It Up Tuesday, cracking it up to 12. You want it loud, send your song with Crest Pods, 4-tax sign at 410-583-1057. News from the Nets coming up in a few minutes. Going to hear from John Harbaugh, a little more from yesterday's event. Talking about the O-line, talking about Nelson Aguilar, talking about Rashad Bateman, other things going on with his team that don't exactly relate to number 8, but it all kind of revolves around the quarterback, but he did address other subjects. We got buy or sell coming up at 12:15. Lights out, Sean Merriman, former Terp at 12:30. Talk about what's going on in his world, which is a lot. He's an entrepreneur. He's a promoter. He's a Maryland Terrapin. He's a former All-Pro. And we'll talk to old Lights Out Sean Merriman at 12:30. First draft profile of the day. We're going to Mississippi State. It's Emmanuel Forbes, highly regarded cornerback by a lot of people, and then he's going to tell you why coming up later in the 12. But let's bring in old Nolan McGraw there. Quick draw, what's happened?
Doing good. It's been a fast day.
Oh, boy.
You kind of
flying by.
Had a feeling it was going to be that way waking up this morning. Once all the pieces were set for the show, I was like, you know what? Today should be pretty good. These callers are going to give us plenty.
Oh, they have.
And they have. And as have the texters, which we'll hear here in a second.
Oh, nice.
All right. And what do you think of the Orioles, the roster makeup here? We'll do our predictions for the Birds, I guess. Tomorrow? We'll have to do it tomorrow because Thursday will be Baltimore baseball tonight. So full disclosure, it's Cordell and Vinny from 10 to 11, and then me and Ryan Ripken, Mike Bordick, and Jim Hunter will get
Who's
you ready.
Who's leading
for
off, Ripken?
Be honest with you, I don't know.
You got to double-check the schedule.
I'll have to look at that one. A lot going on with the emails and such. But all three of them are going to be here, so we'll do our show predictions tomorrow for the Orioles. Well, we can't because we'll be at Maryland.
Yeah.
Well, we could still do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 4-hour show.
We're an advanced society. We can improvise and adapt. We don't have to kiss Damon's ass for 4 hours, do we?
Just 15 minutes.
Yeah, we can get it done. All right, let's get to that fun house of yours.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry, one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, give them a call today. 443-348-8812.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here says, it sounds like people are using emotions, not really logic, to look at the Lamar situation. You can't rightfully argue that Lamar is the best quarterback in the league. Championships, postseason success, they dictate how much money you get.
I would agree with that. That dictates. Plus, when you're talking about, like, history of the, when you're talking about all the like elite quarterbacks, the guys that you're talking about are the ones that are successful in the postseason. You know, why they talk about Joe Montana, why do they talk about Tom Brady, you know, and why does Marino get knocked and why does Jim Kelly get knocked? Because they couldn't win.
Dan Fouts, the numbers he was putting up, if he had two Super Bowls, they'd be talking about him as one of the five best quarterbacks in football, Hall of Famer.
No doubt.
But he doesn't even get brought up. Fran Tarkenton, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
When he retired, he held pretty much every passing record there was in the league.
Tommy Kramer, too, for the Vikings. He had stats galore.
This one here says, I think Lamar's a good kid, and he does want to win. I think he is a team guy, but the people around him feeding him bad advice, leading him in the wrong direction.
Well, he's got to be part of that because he listens to him, you know. And I think that's where, you know, if you have an agent, you don't get, you know, the hanger-ons around you to feed you. That was the problem with Dan Snyder, the people that he listened, the like his group of friends that he listened to make decisions, you know. And that's a billionaire doing it.
This one here says, it was kind of refreshing to hear Lamar finally speak for himself yesterday. Up until then, it was just him calling out reports as being false, never really elaborating beyond that. And then you combine that with his passive-aggressive social media posts. It became very annoying.
You know what? Instead of, I wish that he would do his video. Let him speak. You know, you want to speak? Because, like, if you're tweeting, to me, you're kind of hiding. Come out and say what you want to say publicly.
Another one here says, by the time Lamar actually ends up signing a long-term contract, it'll be at the end of what he could have signed years ago, say a short-term, three-year, $133 million guaranteed deal that he was apparently offered. Instead of getting about $43 million over those years, he'll be... Or it says instead he's actually earned about $43 million these past couple years. Would be a lot happier had he got this done a while ago.
How much money do you think, you know, it'd be interesting. Like Josh Allen, what has he made, you know, over the last couple years compared to Lamar? Because he can't make that up. And, all right, let's say that Lamar would have gotten a deal done then for a little bit more than Josh Allen. Just think of the money that he'd have in his pocket right now. And he probably would have played in the playoffs last year.
Last one here, Gene in Annapolis says 33% winning percentage, that is, in the playoffs. Missing a lot of regular season games with injury and sickness. He's not worth what he thinks he is.
Well, you're worth what everybody think, you know, you're worth what everybody's willing to pay you. And what he wants to get doesn't seem like nobody's willing to pay him that. So then what? You're not worth that. Just like we go in and negotiate. We want that. No. You know, and you get what you get.
We hear a lot about budgets.
Yes.
I guess there's a salary cap at the Odyssey. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, news from the desk. Going to hear from John Harbaugh talking about his wide receivers, his running back room, and who's going to replace maybe Ben Powers at left guard. Then we're going to count some money, speaking of which, at 12:15 buy or sell. Lights out, Sean Merriman, former Terp. He's got a lot going on. He's going to explain most of it when we talk to him. And then we're going to do our first draft profile of the day. He's Emmanuel Forbes. He's out of Mississippi State. Could he be a first-round draft pick? Could he be around at 22? Will he fit? We'll get into all of that and more here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.